We turn to the passage we read in the Lamentations of Jeremiah. Lamentations chapter 3, and we shall read again verses 22 and 23. Lamentations 3 at verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen. The Lamentations are attributed to the prophet Jeremiah, and these words were spoken by Jeremiah during or after the siege of Jerusalem, which ended in the year 586 BC. And that siege involved God's people in much suffering. There was severe famine. There was, of course, the threat of the sword and captivity. And we learn from Jeremiah's own history that he himself endured prison and the dungeon, the dark, dank dungeon in which he was kept. And we find that the words of Jeremiah, he is speaking as God's prophet, are very much applicable to the church, to believers in general. We see here Jeremiah, but we also see beyond Jeremiah, we see one greater than him. The Lamentations, the sorrow, in many respects, is applicable also to our Lord. Jesus Christ, the King and Head of the Church. And those who belong to Christ partake, in some measure, in the sufferings of Christ. Not in his redeeming sufferings, they are unique to him, but as a man who kept the truth and walked in the paths of righteousness, his followers who endeavor by grace to do the same, or they experience trials and troubles in a sinful and ungodly world. But here we have great encouragement. For Zion's pilgrims, weary in their wanderings, and perhaps the promised land still seems very far off to them, but what they have is the Lord's mercies. And the Lord's mercies to his people are very wonderful indeed. Is it not a wonder to you, to me, that there is such a thing as the Lord's mercy? God in his justice might condemn and punish everlastingly all of mankind. That is what we deserve. But God in his mercy, but not at the expense of his justice, God in his mercy blesses a people dear unto him, and those who he will have to dwell with him in the eternal glory. And he shows mercy to them in a way consistent with his justice, that because of Christ, who stood between and bore the wrath and curse of God due to his people, that they might not have to bear it themselves, and that they might enjoy the Lord's mercies. Their way is sprinkled with these mercies. And as they go on, these mercies are more and more precious to them, and they are tokens of the Lord's favor toward them, and of a God who is in covenant with them in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we not owe everything to our God and to his mercies? Let us consider then the Lord's mercies with the Lord's help, and to begin with this, what the Lord's mercies are. How shall we define them? Mentioned there in the text and in many other places in Scripture of the Lord's mercies. They are also often referred to in Scripture as his compassions. And we love that word. It's very simple, similar to sympathy in terms of its sense. And compassions also may be rendered in Scripture as kindnesses. The Lord's kindnesses to his people. So you see the sense of mercies. Compassionate God. God who is full of loving kindness. A God who is good in a special way to his own. The Lord's mercies have their source in the love God bears to his own people. That love is from all eternity. That love is undeserved. That love is bestowed upon a poor, unworthy people. The love of a covenant God to those whom he has been pleased to choose for himself. And these blessings come through his Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Redeemer of the Church, the Mediator between God and men. It is good to have that view of Jesus Christ. Why did he come? What was his work? And we speak of substitution. We speak of suretyship. We speak of one who, as the head of the body, suffered in the place of the body and paid the price for the sins of those who make up his body. And every believer is a member of the body of Jesus Christ. And every believer, by grace, is united to the head, Jesus Christ. This is why Christ came. Why there was ever such a miracle as the incarnation. And we cannot comprehend that. That there is one person and he has two natures, and those natures are distinct, yet he is one person. This is necessary if Christ is to truly represent his people and deal with their sins. He can only represent them if he is one with them in the sense of having the same nature as them. And so he is man. But he can only deal with their sins if he is more than a man. And he is the eternal Son of God. And that means when you read your Bible, you turn to the gospel narratives, and you see the life of Christ, and you see his suffering, and then you go to Gethsemane, and ultimately to Calvary. You may know from the Word of God that what Christ did, he did as the God-man. And so what he did has infinite worth. And we must believe in the true divinity of Jesus Christ. So many errors in religion stem from that error whereby the person of Christ is reduced to something less than God. If that is done, there is no salvation left. He is God, true God. He is man, true man. And he thereby is suited to be our Redeemer, our Mediator with God. All God's blessings, all his spiritual blessings, come through Christ to his people. And the mercies of God are both temporal and spiritual. And we focus rightly on the spiritual mercies because we are in greatest need of them. The mercy of God unto life eternal. The mercy whereby we are pardoned. God does not visit us in the way of vengeance upon our sin, because he so visited Christ, who stood in our place. God's mercy, whereby even as Christians, as we go on, we find ourselves to sin again and again, and yet however often we go to God with our sin, there is forgiveness with him, that he may be feared. Plenteous redemption. A redemption that is complete. A redemption in which there is nothing lacking to be made up by the believer. It is finished by Christ, and it is ours by God's grace and by his free gift. Spiritual mercies, deliverances, the way in which we're spared in many ways spiritually from worse than we experience. The devil has a certain access to God's people, but we are kept, are we not? And we hide ourselves by faith in our mighty refuge, Jesus Christ. And we find that we are anchored spiritually to the rock that is Jesus Christ. He is all our salvation. Mercy, when perhaps we drift away for a season, we wander spiritually, but the Lord goes after us. And the Lord causes us to return to himself. Well, we know our weakness. We know how prone we are to go back toward the world. It still has a pull on us. We're fools if we say it does not. Not because of our flesh, our sinful nature. How watchful we have to be. And how careful to avoid the occasions of sin and any connections and associations that might lead us unwittingly into sin. Temporal mercies also. You think there of the body, of health and strength. How we might be delivered out of danger. Danger that would threaten us to do us harm physically. How believers are brought through sickness, illness of one kind or another, even of a severe kind. And times of sickness are praying times. We're humbled. Because we see what frail creatures we are. And what can we do Well, there are physicians on earth. We're thankful for them. But we look above and beyond them. We call to our God in heaven. And we do so in the name of the man Christ Jesus, who knows our frame and who is our intercessor at God's right hand and is able to take our poor prayers and our feeble words and to make them eloquent with God so that they reach God. They enter into his ears, as it were. And Christ is touched with the feeling of his people's infirmities. How ideally suited he is to be our mediator. And God, as our Heavenly Father, rich in mercy, well, he comes so very often and gives us deliverance out of our earthly troubles. So the Lord's mercies are his compassions, his kindnesses, both of a spiritual kind and temporal. Secondly, what we owe to the Lord's mercies. We might say we owe everything to the Lord's mercies. We think that without them, these mercies of God, we would be at an end. We have much guilt before God, even as Christians, because we sin daily in thought, word, and deed. And perhaps we feel at times that we could easily be overcome by sin. Temptation is strong. Perhaps it will carry us away. Perhaps we will slide into some great sin that we will be overcome. And yet, the believer, however weak he or she feels himself or herself to be, is not finished, is never finished, because the Lord's mercies never finish. His compassions fail not, says Jeremiah. And if they fail not, then they're always there. And whatever your situation, and however dark, difficult it may appear to you to be, you may rely upon the mercies of God, your God, your covenant God. We have those words in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. We're told there that God changes not. It's a declaration. I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. It's interesting that the reference there is to the sons of Jacob. That might speak of Israel generally. But does it not speak of the spiritual Israel, of the church? Jacob was a good man, a godly man, but he was very much a sinner. That is left on record in Scripture. That we might know that the Lord's people in every generation are like that. They have grace, but they are sinners. And they shall be sinners until their dying day. But they are not consumed. They are not finished or brought to an end. Every true Christian perseveres in faith, looking to Christ. And every Christian perseveres because God preserves that Christian in a state of grace. Can you look back and perhaps even look to your present and see when you were tempted to go away from Christ, to not be an openly professing Christian, but perhaps wanting to be anonymous in the world because you found the Christian way to be hard and bringing many difficulties. And the thought was, well, if I'm not so open about being a Christian, then perhaps my life will be an easier one and I will not have all these troubles. No doubt in some measure we've all been tempted to be like that and perhaps have sought to be like that for a time. And we recognize that to be wrong, to be sinful, not to own the Lord, not to name his name. And those who name the name of Christ are to depart from iniquity in all its forms. If the Lord had left us, we would have gone further and further away, more and more into the world again. And our sense of dependence upon Christ would have become weaker and weaker. And we would have ended up just like the world out of which the Lord took us spiritually. But he does not. He does not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. And you're not consumed because my mercies fail not. My compassions towards you, they will never fail. They will never end. And the Lord restores. And he brings back the wandering one. And perhaps that one who has wandered has learned the appropriate lessons that ought to be the case. And will now cleave more closely to Christ and live more wholeheartedly for the Lord. So the believer will continue with Christ and not turn back like some, never to return. And there will always be a church in the world to serve the Lord according to his word, his revealed will. That is an encouraging and comforting thought. In a day of small things, when the cause is low, God has not failed. His mercies have not failed. He will return to his church. And he will revive his work. And he will cause that which is broken down and weak to be strong again and to flourish and to be fruitful and to bring glory to God. Well, we owe everything to the Lord's mercies. Without them, we would be at an end spiritually. We would be as the world. But the Lord will not cast off his people. and his mercies toward them will continue. Finally, our response to the Lord's mercies. In verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Friends, that is the only fitting response on the part of those who know the mercies of God and who know them in their abundance and in what they represent in terms of the experience of the believer and the recovering and strengthening and keeping of the child of God. We should be praising God with Jeremiah. Great, very great is the faithfulness of our God. God's faithfulness is his fidelity to his word. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. You see the encouragement there? This has to do with God's character. He is truth. And that means if God has spoken, and he has, and preserved his word in the Holy Scriptures, he cannot deny himself. If he went back upon his word, that would be to deny himself. He is truth, and he is trustworthy. And we may say this: God in particular keeps his promises, and his word is full of promises, and especially he keeps his covenant promises. They are firm and they are reliable. How do we know that? Because they are God's promises to his people. But for this reason, they are sealed with the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood Christ shed in making atonement for our sins on the cross, there in his death, and then we have his rising again. Christ rose from the dead because he accomplished that which the Father sent him to do. And the resurrection of Christ testifies to the atonement. It is complete. Sin is put away. And there in Christ crucified and risen, you see, do you not, that the promises of God are firm and reliable. God will never go back upon them. We have a Saviour in glory. Where is he? He's at God's right hand. And that speaks of the honour he has. And it speaks also of God's love for his church. Our glorious head is on the throne. And because Christ is there in glory, all who belong to him shall join him in glory. Jeremiah says of the Lord's mercies, his compassions, they are new every morning. When you rise from your bed in the morning, Some things will be just as they were. Other things may have changed, even during the night. The mercies of God are new every morning, not in the sense that they have changed, but in the sense that they are there and they are renewed to you. Renewed to you each and every day of your life as a believer in Christ. They are as fresh, shall we say, in the morning, as they were when you lay down your head to take your sleep. And we can apply that to the Christian life. The Lord's mercies and compassions are new at the beginning of our Christian life, when we enjoy that spiritual resurrection brought out of a state of sin and misery, and they are new at the end of the Christian life, when we enter into our eternal rest. They never failed. They were always there and suited to our need. And it is good if we're able to see them and to bless God for them. Things are not always with us, spiritually or temporally, as we wish they might be. And no doubt we would choose for ourselves an easier path than we sometimes have. But things are as God wills. And God wills what is for our best, for our spiritual refinement, and for our preparation to enter into a better world. And there are mercies all along the way from a covenant God, one who changes not, and his faithfulness is great indeed. Lean upon that and discover the strength that that puts into your soul and the firmness it gives to your step, your spiritual walk in this world. That you have such a God as your God leading you, guiding you and keeping you until he takes you to your eternal dwelling with himself. May we be thankful for the Lord's mercies. May God bless his word. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we praise thy name, that thou dost not deal with us as our sins deserve, but because of Christ, we have mercy after mercy, and compassion after compassion. We enjoy thy kindness, and thou dost hear our prayers, and bless us in such a way as we are helped in all our difficulties. And may we have that confidence that thy faithfulness to thy promises will indeed continue until we are brought to the end of the road and take that final step into a blessed eternity. Forgive our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen.